At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty, and welcome to this bonus episode. There are words of the year to talk about, and I just could not let 2023 go by without talking about them. And I'm here today with Jessa Ferris, who joined us recently to talk about her new book, Words from Hell, and she is so kind to come back and talk about words of the year with us. Welcome, Jess.
Thank you so much. You know, I love the show, and I'm excited to be back.
Yeah. And see, we are recording this December 16th, but it won't come out until, I believe, the 28th. So there could be more words of the year that we don't get to that come out after the show, but at least you'll get the big picture, some of them. So, you know, I had been thinking about doing this. And then when Jess, when you came out with the Reagan words of the year, I thought, I just can't let the year go by without doing this. And you're the perfect person to do it. So do you want to start talking about Reagan communications word of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So in addition to writing about etymology for our listeners, I'm also the director of content at Reagan Communications. So I made a list of 10 words of the year for Reagan's audiences. So these words were for communications professionals and PR professionals as well. And as you well know, Mignon, because you lead webinars for Reagan PR Daily, communicators are also writers, and their relationship with AI is learning how to ethically and creatively incorporate AI into their work streams to boost their productivity and maintain quality. So that's been a key skill set that they've been developing this year. And a lot of the words of the year we've seen have been focused on AI, as I'm sure you've addressed. So the key area for communicators is prompting chatbots. So that was the number one word of the year for Reagan and PR Daily, was prompt. And within that umbrella, I would include skill sets such as training on AI, or training an AI on your style and voice, building your own GPTs, and other adjacent skills.
So Reagan wasn't the only company to have prompt this year either, were you?
That's right. We'll get into Oxford's word of the year in a moment, which is also AI adjacent, but one of their runners up was prompt. Although AI has factored into like PR and comms in contexts like data management and customer service chats, learning the art of the prompt really became a requirement for working in that field over the past year. Obviously I was not as clever as I thought I was, when coming up with this term, but I came up with it before I was aware of Oxford's choice. And, part of the reason is it's a little bit of a double entendre. Organizations as a whole and communicators in particular need to be prompt in upskilling in this area to remain competitive.
So you weren't the only one who your word was chosen by someone else. This year has been, I mean, as people will notice by the end, almost every word this year relates to AI in some way. And AI was the actual word chosen by at least two organizations. Collins Dictionary was the first one to come out with AI, obviously short for artificial intelligence. And then the Association of National Advertisers chose AI as the word of the year. And they said it was the widest margin in their 10-year history for that word. They vote. And so I think the next runner-up was something like personal purpose. It was purpose. But it was just a distant second to AI. And so, you know, huge theme for the year. And again, like multiple organizations chose it.
You know, it doesn't surprise me that purpose had such a large gap. I feel like that was the word of the year in the advertising space like 3 years ago. Like, brand purpose was the thing, the drum that they've been beating for quite some time. And although AI isn't new, it was absolutely the word you got tired of hearing throughout this year.
Right. Yeah. I think you're going to talk about Hallucinate next. And but I had heard of people when I saw it was announced, people said they'd never heard it used in relationship to AI. And I thought, I mean, I couldn't go, you know, 2 days without hearing it. So we all live in different environments.
Absolutely. Yes, dictionary.com's word of the year is AI themed, but not one that you might expect. They said that to determine their word of the year, they gave themselves a prompt using, there's that word again, prompt. using lexicography and data science, choose a single word that best represents at this moment AI's many profound ramifications for the future of language and life. And the result was the word hallucinate, but a specific definition of the word that was just added to their dictionary this year. It's specifically when an artificial intelligence produces false information contrary to the intent of the user and presents it as if it is true and factual. It's called hallucinating. And their example sentence was, when chatbots hallucinate, the result is often not just inaccurate, but completely fabricated. And I've personally witnessed chatbots hallucinating in my work. I asked ChatGPT, for instance, for the etymology of several words that I knew to have common myths associated with them in online spaces. And sure enough, it presented the myths as if they were fact. So that's an example of hallucination. And just to humor me a little bit, the origin of hallucinate is one of my favorites. It's from, Latin and Greek sources, meaning to wander in the mind. And the English word dates back to at least the 1630s when it's recorded in a few texts with the apparent meaning to like waver, like to hallucinate between truth and falsehood, which I think is kind of a full circle moment for today's definition that we just earned word of the year.
Definitely. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I think the first thing I ever wrote about AI was about a hallucination. About a year ago, I had an experience similar to yours, and I asked it to recommend books that had librarians as a protagonist, and it came up with, you know, four or five that were great, and then there was one that just did not exist. But it was by a real author, and, you know, it might be something he would have written, but it just wasn't. It was not a real book. And so I wrote up a blog post about AI hallucinating. And it's interesting too, because one of the, you know, I did in the webinar I did with you at Reagan.com. So I did the advanced AP style webinar. And because AI is such a big thing this year, you had me include a section on AI for AP style. And one of the things they emphasize is to not ascribe human characteristics to AI like ChatGPT. And I've always thought that hallucinate sort of walks that line, because when you say that AI has hallucinated, in a way, it feels like you're ascribing a human characteristic or condition, at least, to that machine. And yet it is the industry standard term. It's what they use to talk about the mistakes that the AI tools make. It's a real Absolutely. Industry term.
Rather than saying that it, you know, generates misinformation or something along those lines, which is a little more on the nose and a little less psychedelic, shall we say.
Right. I loved the graphic that if any of you have seen it online, dictionary.com had a fabulous chaotic graphic to go with their word hallucinate.
Beautiful piece of artwork. I agree. I'm interested to see if next year's words of the year will be AI focused, because next year, I think that it will be a year of AI competitor drama. Like, there's, ByteDance was using OpenAI's tech to build its own large language model, or LLM, which is like the model that makes generative conversational AI possible. Apparently that's a pretty big faux pas, and now they've been banned, so that's been a thing. And then there's Grok, which like Bloomberg has an article that says it could overtake ChatGPT, but I doubt it. That's Elon Musk's subscriber only AI chatbot that was named after Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land and supposedly informed by Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But I, you know, we'll see. It also does not, it is like a function of hallucination because it doesn't profess to present information neutrally, but instead is designed to answer with quote unquote a bit of wit and a rebellious streak and is useful to people of all backgrounds and political views, which just reads as like, this is probably going to be politically in a certain direction in the context of Elon Musk's diatribes. However, you know, evidently someone put it to the test and it ended up being more like politically liberal than ChatGPT in many contexts. So apparently they're working to try to make it more conservative. So that'll be interesting. It also plagiarized ChatGPT, which is fascinating because this was apparently experts predicted this happening.
Wild. Yeah. Well, ChatGPT itself was one of the words of the year. Mm-hmm. So The Economist and the Shanghai Daily, actually, which is, I believe, the only English newspaper in Shanghai, both chose ChatGPT, which stands for Chat Generated Pre-Trained Transformer. And yes, I did have to look that up. And, you know, but I find myself wondering, you know, you were thinking next year, I was wondering if ChatGPT will become like Google, if we'll use it as a verb, if the brand name will become so, you know, genericized that we will say like, oh, I searched ChatGPT when we were searching Grok or Claude or one of the other ones. I kind of think not, because I'm not sure that ChatGPT is going to win the competitive race by that much. It's probably the best one out there right now, but I'm not sure if it's going to hang on to that crown. It was Wikipedia's most viewed page last year too, the ChatGPT page. So, you know, and it's the one that I think of when I started as a side project. I'm writing a newsletter about AI called AI SideQuest. And, you know, it's just like a little side project I'm doing. And every time I write about it, should I refer to these tools as AI? Should I refer to them as large language models? Can I just call them chat? You know, I know I can't call them all ChatGPT, but I'm tempted to because that's the name that everyone knows. So, mm-hmm. you know, I feel tempted to use it in the way you might say I Googled something, but I don't, and I resist that. So I think it'll be interesting to see what the next year holds.
Yeah, you know, I think the way Google has started incorporating AI into its search engine is almost more natural in terms of like actual fact finding. And it's a little more useful because it also includes the sources from which it's drawing its information. One thing that I think could save ChatGPT if they actually commit to it, if OpenAI decides to commit to it, is that the Data and Trust Alliance announced data provenance standards intended to provide clarity around the information that forms the foundation of AI generated works. So like basically food labels saying where each piece of information came from and how, like what recipe went into AI generated text and images. So the hope is that like much like food safety labeling that provides information about how and where food is produced and handled, the standards will provide users with the ingredients and sources that AI text or image generators use to develop their content, which I like that a lot because it lends authorship to the original information and sourcing.
Yeah, no, that's great. A tool that I've been using called Perplexity AI gives the links to all the facts from where it gets the information. And I feel like I should caution people that even when you see the sources there, you need to check them because they don't always support the fact that the AI has given you. I heard the same thing about Bing yesterday. So it'll give you the sources, but those sources might not support what it's saying it supports. So if you're looking up facts, be incredibly skeptical and click through on those sources and check that they really are, or, you know, better yet, verify it yourself in some other way. Like, don't trust the facts you get from any of these large language models /ChatGPT/AI tools.
I would hope that people were doing that already with sources like Wikipedia, but I'm pretty sure that many people are not.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things these tools like ChatGPT do is they give you the answer in such a confident, clear way that it's easy to believe it in a way that is, I think, more so than a lot of the other ways that we get information online right now. So don't be lured into that feeling of, oh, this confident, friendly friend of mine just told me a fact that just it must be true. Mm-hmm. It's so sure. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Maybe you're bursting with energy, or maybe you're drained because you have a hard time saying no, or you're lonely. It can be easy to ignore your social battery, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you want to go, maybe you don't want to go. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And can you recognize what you need and make it happen? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that will keep you fulfilled but won't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GrammarGirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GrammarGirl. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. I've been trying to figure out how to just find more time in my day. And you know what? Factor's ready-to-eat meals come to my door and are on the table in 2 minutes. No more grocery shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleanup. Creamy Parmesan chicken, turkey chili and zucchini with ancho lime crema. These chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals are delicious and take no time at all. Just heat them up and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grammar50 and use the code grammar50, 50, to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's the code GRAMMAR50 at factormeals.com/GRAMMAR50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box where your subscription is active. Remember the frustration of trying to memorize vocabulary and grammar rules only to find you couldn't actually use the language in real life? Well, there's a better way to learn. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program with millions of users learning 25 different languages, and you can get it on your desktop or as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. It's really different. You pick up the language naturally, first with words, then the phrases, and then with sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Grammar Girl listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/grammar. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/grammar today. Speaking of friends, another word of the year is authentic from Merriam-Webster. And this comes from the Greek originally that meant original or genuine. And, you know, I think this was so interesting because I remember authentic, you know, but wow, probably 7 or 8 years ago being a word that I was sick to death of hearing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everyone was talking about how millennials, you know, valued authenticity and it was a big deal years ago. And so at first I was surprised when I saw that it was the Merriam-Webster word of the year. And then I realized, again, it's in the context of AI, and it has to do with determining whether a photo or a piece of content is authentic or fake. One of their runners up was deepfake, actually. So, you know, we had a lot of deepfake images produced by AI this year that people had to deal with.
One cool thing that that gives me a little bit of hope is some of the reactions that you see, you know, as quickly as AI is advancing, it's also being used to combat some of the things that we're afraid of happening. So, for example, in the realm of deepfakes, I believe it was Intel developed a tool that can determine whether a video is a deepfake by basically, like, when you or I talk, we can only see each other's faces as they are. But there are micro changes in the colors of your skin because there is blood going to different parts of your face. So their tool is able to determine whether a video is a deepfake or not, because a deepfake will not have those micro changes in color from blood flow.
Wild. Mm-hmm. I had not heard that.
Yeah, I do. I don't know the answer to this either, but I wonder, like, to what degree it's able, like, if its accuracy is impacted by people of different skin tones.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was just going. You had reminded me that I feel like I should also warn people against the text-based AI identification tools. So especially in a lot of schools, they have new tools that are claiming that they can identify AI written essays, for example, and they are wildly inaccurate. And they're flagging things that aren't written by AI quite often. And they are particularly susceptible to misflagging essays written by people for whom English isn't their first language. So it's just something about the way the language is a little bit different. And these tools are saying, oh, that was written by AI when it wasn't. And it's causing students all sorts of problems and stress. And so be very, very cautious about using those tools that claim they can identify AI written text, because they're not very good, most of them, right now, today. You know, maybe a year from now they will be, but if you're listening to this today, they're not.
The world of complications that arises from this technology, right?
Yeah, so many complications. And I think that we had one word of the year to wrap up, one word that wasn't AI focused. That you were going to talk about?
That's right. Oxford University Press selected Riz as its word of the year. And it's defined as style, charm, or attractiveness, the ability to attract a romantic or sexual partner. And this actually does have an AI tie-in. I'll get to that in a second.
No.
It does. but it can be a noun. I have Riz, or a verb, like you can Riz someone up or attract them. It's attributed in most contexts to YouTuber Kai Cenat. I hope I pronounced his name right. He introduced it in a video in 2021. And a lot of people say it's short for charisma, which makes sense. It sort of like works in the same way that the word like fridge comes out of refrigerator. But Kai says that it's not. It's more of an inventive word. So he also used phrases like W Riz or L Riz, basically winning or losing at having Riz. I sound so old saying this. Kai said
it's fun
he
to
stopped.
Say, though.
Right? it's sort of like it reminds me a little bit about how like jazz has been used in the past. Like it has been several parts of speech in the same way. But Kai says he doesn't use it anymore because TikTok butchered the word. It's really common over there. You'll probably run into it if you go on TikTok. It's also been boosted by celebrities like Tom Holland, who said he didn't have much Riz and had to play the long game to date Zendaya. And then it's also been used by public figures like Scaramucci used it to say that Ron DeSantis has no Riz, which I would generally agree with. But I also like listening to rich Gen X public figures use the phrase is, to use another word from my Zoomer friends, a little cringe.
Definitely cringe.
So the AI tie-in that I was reading about just yesterday, though, this isn't like specifically associated with its word of the year, but there is an AI-powered dating assistant called Riz, which suggests that it suggests conversation ideas for dating app users. So it can come up with your opening line on Tinder or Bumble or whatever, and then you can ask it what you should say next in response to your potential partner's message.
Oh my gosh. So we are going to have AI chatbots talking to each other in the chat on dating apps. So if a person on each side of a conversation has this, they're just the bots talking to each other.
Right. That reminds me of a story. I may not get the details on this exactly right, so I'll try to be kind of vague. But I remember a story from several years ago before ChatGPT was a thing, before any of this happened, when they were experimenting with artificial intelligence and machine learning, and they had two bots speaking to each other, just conversing. And over time, they started developing their own abbreviated language. Like, they started abbreviating words so much and then making their own dialect. It was fascinating.
Oh, I'm going to look up that up and find out more about it. That is fascinating.
That's a good one.
If I can find it, I'll put a link to it in the show notes, because that would be really cool to read about. I'm sure people would love that.
It was a little creepy too, but it was cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jess, for helping us round up the words of 2023. Well, to wrap up, thank you so much for being here. We want to talk about our books. I have The Grammar Daily. I'll put a link to my AI newsletter in the show notes and to my course with Reagan Communications that Jess helped put together. And Jess, thank you so much first. And why don't you tell people about your book and where they can find you?
Oh, thank you so much. I just released the book Words from Hell. It's an etymology dictionary focused on naughty, nefarious, and secretly salacious words, among many others. You can buy it anywhere books are sold, and then you can also find me on my website at Useless Etymology and on TikTok at Jess Zafaris. Thanks so much for having me on the show. This has been so much fun.
So, excellent. Have a great new year, everyone. See you soon.
Bye. That was fun. I am loving your book, by the way. It is so much fun.
Thank you. I loved yours too.
Thank you. You can clip that in if you want, like a live testimonial.
I didn't stop recording. I thought I had.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.